Hello, everyone, and welcome to Horrorsperia. This is May, and I am so beyond excited for this episode, technically our first podcast crossover episode. These people, I found them trying to find resources for my students, and I just have fallen in love with them, and I cannot wait to use this podcast to learn more about them and also talk about Latin American horror in general. So without further ado, I would like to introduce Johnny and Eileen from Oike Horror.
Hi. Oike Horror.
Hey, how's it going?
It is going great. So I wanted to get your name out there, but I would actually love if you guys could tell the people, what is Oike Horror? And talk a little bit about yourselves, please.
Oike Horror is a Latin American, it's a Latinx horror movie podcast hosted by myself, Eileen Clark, and my best friend, Jonathan Atkinson.
Hello.
And hello. And the two of us, we watch a horror movie from Latin America every week, and then we get together and we talk about it. And our only criteria for these films that we watch is it has to be either from a Latin American country, directed by a Latin American person, or starring a Latin American actor or actress. And then we just go ham, and we don't discriminate whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's ugly. We will watch it and talk about it. And we give a little trivia at the end of every episode, and then we quote unquote rate it by saying how many oohs it gives us. But you know, the ratings for us is a bunch of literally Johnny does one thing with his ratings. I have my own criteria with my ratings. Yeah. So it doesn't fucking matter. You know what I mean? As long as we're having fun, it's a good time.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. So thank you for that. I think that is a perfect introduction, especially what I love about your podcast is that you guys take the care to go through the movies thoroughly. And that's something that not even I have the patience for. But it is so soothing to hear you guys do, because you guys, like I've told you this before, but it feels like a conversation. And this is not a joke. This is not, I'm not trying to gas you guys up, but when I was writing my Afro Latin next chapter, instead of like rewatching the movie, I listened to your podcast and I almost preferred it more.
Whoa.
Because your help interpreting some things that happened for me too. And so I really it was for Saudo Laberinto del Almas. I really love the care that you guys take in each property that you do, because as you say, it's not even whether you liked it, whether you loved it, you'll still give it its due attention.
What's really wonderful about doing this podcast with Johnny is that I know myself, I can be very stubborn and like once I see something and once I feel it, I am. And I think that comes across in the pod a lot. But Johnny has this other viewpoint so many other times. And like the conversations that lead from certain moments in film or how we feel in different acts of what's going on, it really leads to like, I don't know, some of the funnest times that I think we've had are when we're like trying to figure shit out. Cause a lot of times, funny you say Saudo was literally un laberinto de la mente, because we were like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I rely a lot when I'm confused or when I'm having a hard time with a feeling with how Johnny is feeling and how he understands things, because our perspectives so often can be very different, but a lot of times they're also very much the same.
I mean, for the most part, we agree on things.
Yeah.
But when I'm taking my notes, you know, because the way we do our podcast is like, one week I pick the movie, the next week Eileen will pick it. And when I pick the movie, that means that I'm the one who has to, you know, talk us through the movie top to bottom, all the important plot points. But I will literally include in my notes, like, ask Eileen what the hell this means right now.
Always.
Because sometimes I'll be fully confused. And, you know, that's literally the point of this is to explore this Latin American horror movie. And if it's not quite making sense, if we don't understand something, to be like, let's figure this out. But it's interesting that you said that, May, about, you know, us taking you through the full movie, because I think Eileen is a lot more knowledgeable about podcasts than I am. Like, I don't listen to that much. She's actually the one who first introduced me to podcasts. She was like, you should listen to My Favorite Murder. You should years ago, you were like, listen to this podcast. And from there, I was like, oh, this and this and this. But I never listened to film podcasts. And you did, Eileen. Mm-hmm. You've listened to quite a few.
Yeah.
So when she was like, you know, we're going to talk about the movie top to bottom, I was like, really? Like, we're going to spoil it. But then that's the whole deal here, is that it's like, we're going to take you fully through this movie. We'll talk you through it, especially if you're scared of horror movies. And a lot of, you know, what I'm going to call, you know, not to toot our horn here, but our fans or listeners will be like, I can't watch this movie, but I appreciate that you talk me through it.
Yeah.
And it kind of like softens the terror or the horror of it, if you will.
Totally.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's so much fun. But I will say, to watch a movie and to take the notes from top to bottom,
it's a lot.
Woo! It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
How often will it usually take you to get through a movie for the pod?
It depends on the movie and how either confusing it is or how much it makes us like actually talk about stuff. Because sometimes we're like, oh, yeah. And then this happened and this happened and this happened. Whoa, this was spooky. Whoa, this was cool. Great. Three ooeys. Goodbye. But then mm-hmm. there's ones that have like deeper meaning, or have like, especially the ones where specific folklore or like cultures that we don't have that much knowledge in, we truly want to, which is one of the perks of doing this podcast, is that we learn so much about all these other different Latin American customs and stories. And so a lot of those times we talk for so much longer. So it'll vary between like maybe like 2.5 hours on a really good day. And we try and keep our episodes at least at 1:45. Like, that's how late, that's how long we want to get. But sometimes it's too hard. And sometimes those conversations feel important and feel necessary. So it's like, I don't want to cut this out, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really depending on how verbose we get with each other during different moments in these films.
Totally. So I love that answer so much, but I want to backtrack just a little bit, because I want to know how you guys met. Your friendship is so, I mean, like I say, your rapport is so beautiful. It leads to what makes the podcast so compelling. But also, to add to what you guys just said, I also think that's also why it makes it such a good educational tool. And I know that's probably totally secondary, or maybe even an accidental pro that happened as you guys have been making this. But my students love your podcast. Like, they, for when I teach Latin American horror, I give them a few weeks, because I give them the choice to choose which country they want to focus on.
Sure.
And so I give them all these resources. And so your podcast is only an option, but so many of my students use it, like every single one. So it gravitates to them naturally. And I think it's because, you know, especially when some of these films, as you say, they can be very complex, and there's not a lot of research out about these films. So much so that I legit found you guys, I think, just by typing Latin American horror overall in Google. Like,
love
you
that.
Guys popped up.
Wow.
Because there's just not a lot of people doing things like this. And it really does help people process things. And I think that is so beautiful. Anyway, so my question, how'd you guys meet? Because like, so much riches here, right?
Yes, absolutely. All the riches. Jonathan, I'll let you. It's always me explaining how I deeply fell in love with you, but this time let's let's have you go first.
Okay, I'll take it. I'll take it. So for different reasons, our parents lived in Latin America. So we both grew up in Latin America. So Eileen was living in Brazil, Brasilia to be specific, because her dad was metallurgist?
He's Scottish, so he'll say it metallurgist. No, metallurgist. It's either metallurgist or metallurgist. He works with metals.
Metals, mines, stuff
mines,
like
metals,
that.
Metals, mm-hmm. And magic. That's what he does.
Yes. So, and my dad, he worked for a bank, so I also lived in Brazil, in Brasilia, and we went to the same freaking school,
Escola Americana de Brasilia.
The American school in Brasilia. But we were just kids, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I literally arrived there when I was in kindergarten. And Eileen was one grade above me. But you know how it is when you're small kids, like, if you're one grade apart, you don't really interact.
Yeah.
But my brother happened to be in her class. So we actually have pictures, like, in my parents' house still, of pictures from my brother's birthday. And there's Eileen in the back in, like, her little 90s outfit dancing. And, like, I was at, you know, clearly I was at this
matching
party too.
Matching vest and shorts. Is what I was wearing for that party.
Yeah. So basically, we grew up together for a short period in Brazil, but didn't know each other.
Yeah.
Cut to several years later, Eileen had moved to Nicaragua because her mom is from Nicaragua. She's half Nicaraguan. And because of my dad's job, I also moved to Nicaragua. And then it was a fast reconnection. It was like, oh my gosh, you used to live in Brazil. We didn't even know each other back then. But I literally remember the first conversation we had where she was calling my house because she wanted to talk to my brother because she and my brother were very close. Mm-hmm. But I picked up the phone and I was like, oh, hi, it's me, Johnny. And we talked for hours. And basically, I just kind of like swooped in there and I was like, nope, she's my best friend now. But it was the kind of thing, I mean, I was what, 15? You were what, 16 years old? And I knew at that moment, I was like, oh, this is my girl for life. I knew on yeah. that phone call. And
we
it's
talked
just,
about, we listened to Madonna, we listened to Fiona Apple's Title. He stole yes. my Janet Jackson Velvet Rope CD and never saw mm-hmm. it again. It was, we had ideas of writing a movie together, a horror movie. Mm-hmm. He would force feed me horror movies because I hated them at the time. I was yes. like, I can't do this. And he was like, well, too fucking bad. Here's Jaws. And I was like, fuck.
Well, that's an interesting thing, too, is that ever since I was a kid, I was very much into horror. It is absolutely my favorite genre. And I remember meeting at, you know, hanging out with Eileen and being like, we're going to watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre. We're going to watch Blair Witch Project. We're going to watch freaking Scream. We're going to watch Halloween. We're going to do all these movies. And she was like, no,
no.
I don't want to do this. But now, you know, quickly we became best
changed.
Friends. Yeah, and a lot of years passed, and I would continuously be like, Eileen, let's watch this scary movie. No, Eileen, let's watch this. No, I don't want to do it. Pero finalmente, she kind of took it on herself.
I did.
You did, where she mm-hmm. kind of took it on herself to sit down sola, and be like, I'm going to fucking watch these scary, like the classics. And I was so proud of her.
Yeah, he
so
was.
As much as I was like, I introduced her to horror. She made the choice. I'm going to say later on in life to be like, Eileen, I'm going to sit my ass down and I'm going to just dive in. And you yeah. absolutely did.
I did.
I couldn't be more proud.
Thanks, Johnny.
That is so incredible. Wow. This childhood, that's like crazy, like fate.
Absolutely. I have always,
it feels
always
like
said it was fate because when I I stayed in Brazil and his family moved in when I was still in sixth grade and you were in fifth grade, Johnny. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They moved to Bolivia. And so I was like, I'm never seeing the Atkinsons ever again in my fucking life. And I stayed in Brazil, kept doing my young Eileen thing. And then a few years later, I was like, well, going to Nicaragua. And I was established there. I had a couple years under my belt. And then all of a sudden, here are the Atkinsons again in my life. And I was like, what the fuck? Out of all places, out of Nicaragua, mm-hmm. out of all places. Like, what? So, yeah.
Do you guys miss South America?
All the time.
I mean, there's never a time where I'm not like constantly jonesing for something Latino in my life. Like mm-hmm. it's either whether it's food, whether it's music, whether it's anything, the language. I mean, I consider myself lucky that the American cities that I've lived in, which are San Francisco and New York, are so full of Latinos, because I don't know what I would have done if I was like in the middle of fucking Montana somewhere. I'd be like, who the fuck? You know what I mean?
I miss Puerto Rico all the time because I grew up in Puerto Rico. So I grew up in Puerto Rico for different reasons, but it feels great knowing people that like grew up within the culture, because Johnny, you may correct me, but up here there's not as much, especially a Caribbean Latinx experience. And I only lived in Puerto Rico and Florida. So I didn't realize what living in Puerto Rican majority neighborhoods did to me for 27 years. And I moved up here when I was 27. And now it's like this like phantom limb almost for me.
Yeah, I think, I mean, specifically talking about DC here, it's, you know, there is a huge Latino community, but I believe you have to seek it out, you know? And, you know, just to go off a question that you asked before, like, about missing Latin America, I miss it all the time, because that's, you know, my mom is from Honduras. Eileen's mom was from Nicaragua. So we both have this Latin American, you know, part of us, and we both grew up in Latin America. And now we live in the States, and I honestly think that Uy, Qué Horror, the podcast, was a way for us to just be like, first of all, let's shine a light on Latin American horror, because not many people pay attention to it. Mm-hmm. And there happens to be so much of it that we didn't know about, but also it's a way for us to reconnect and to learn about not only our culture, but all these, you know, just like the vast culture of Latin America, you know, and a way to just get back to that and totally. You know, feel that feeling that we've missed for so long. So that's just part of it.
So that's a really great way to open up a question like, okay, you guys were childhood best friends. It's this really beautiful thing. But like, why a podcast? Now, I know a little bit about your lives, but like, did you guys already work in the entertainment industry, or like, what was the bite there?
I'm here in New York and in San Francisco before I came to New York. I, like Johnny, am an actor, quote unquote, but I consider myself more like storyteller / comedian vibes. And Johnny is definitely more of a theater actor, if you will, and a theater actor and singer, chanteuse, if you will, and
the elusive chanteuse.
And, you know, when the pandemic hit, which is why I got this idea to like make this happen, I was feeling really creatively stumped and looking at my walls is hard. And Johnny and I and his husband Matthew, we were watching movies every day because, you know, the world was in a trash fire and we were like, we need to do something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had been watching all these horror movie franchises in between like action movie franchises. So we would go back and forth. And one day I was just sitting around and, you know, in my own time, I, like Johnny said, I love podcasts, and some of my favorites are movie ones, like How Did This Get Made is...
I love How Did This Get
Made. Oh my God, it's one of my tops.
I literally have merch.
So do I. So do I. I've seen them live. It's fantastic. Yeah, the episode of The Master of Disguise, I saw that fucking show live and it was so good.
I'm obsessed with them as the actors too. I think
everything they do is incredible.
I love June Black Monday. I love Jason Frankie.
Yes.
I love everything Jason Mudeikis does.
Crazy man.
So we're on the same page here.
Yes, fantastic. We often say T to B, and I totally stole that from Jason Mudeikis on How Did This Get Made.
Oh my God, I didn't know that that was
he
from
constantly
that
says, well, T to B, and I'm like, yeah, top to bottom, T to B.
Wow, I didn't know it, and I say that all the time.
Yeah, you do.
I think I literally said it in this episode that we're recording right now.
It's funny, so you know, I'm spending the days listening to podcasts, trying to keep my sanity. In the evenings, Johnny, Matthew, and I would watch a movie, often a horror one. And so one day I'm like walking around my house, like in circles, and I was like, none of these fucking movies are Latino, dude. Where are the Latinos? And often I do that just watching movies in general. I'm like, where the fuck are the Latinos? And so one day I was like, I bet you Johnny and I could fucking just sit around, and we do it anyways. Like when before we watched our movies in the evening, we'd be like, yeah, this and this and that, or like gab about how we felt. And I was like, let's record this and let's make it about Latino horror movies. And in general, I was like, I don't have a strong knowledge besides Guillermo del Toro, like of any... I couldn't have specifically given you a title of a Latin American horror movie before this podcast if it wasn't Guy. I would have been like, Pan's Labyrinth is what I would have said to you. You know what I mean? And so like I talked to Johnny. I sent him a text and I was like, listen, what about this? Would you be down to do this? And he was like, yeah, dude, let's fucking do it. And so.
Hell yeah.
And thus began Wiki Horror, and I went insane and did an Excel sheet of just trying to find all the fucking movies that I could find. And if you would have said that a year and a half ago, almost two, I would have had the knowledge that I have now, not only of horror movies, but of like historical facts of these countries and like, again, their culture and customs, stuff that we're still not experts in, but we are miles ahead of where we were a year and a half ago about knowing of all these places that, you know, as they feel familiar because we're all Latinos and we often have similar experiences, but they also still feel very foreign, and it feels exciting to like learn about this stuff that you fucking had no idea that, el fucking in Ecuador, they have a crazy fucking spirit that walks around the Amazon and likes to like eat your babies or whatever. Like, what? Now we know that shit, you know?
It's also been really interesting to learn a lot about the political landscape historically and right now, and how a lot of that history has affected the filmmakers of Latin America today.
Oh my God.
And how these people have trauma for, you know,
Chile that they is number one in this list. Ooh.
Like Chile, yeah, Argentina, they have some trauma. Like there's literally a horror movie called Trauma, which was a fucking nightmare.
Tough.
But it's a way for us to be like, okay, we see these movies, we see that there's something like really dark and insidious in here that's trying to be expressed. And then we do our research and we find out like, oh, it's because, and it's like, it's stuff we knew before, like Pinochet and, you know, stuff like that. But it's just like this, we do the research, we find out more about it. And it's just like, look how all of this is affecting some of these countries.
Yeah.
And this is a way to express themselves. This is a way for some of these directors and actors and et cetera to express themselves, to kind of like get some of this trauma out, you know?
What I absolutely love about both of those answers is I feel like if people didn't know that this is the first time that we're talking, it would feel like you had just taken my class, because that is what I teach. Because my whole thing is I'm actually technically a cultural studies scholar, but I focus with film as a research tool. And so that's why I created my podcast, actually, was it was for my students. So and that's why it's remained so like singular, because for me, they're my main goal. And if anyone else gets anything out of this, which luckily a lot of people have, and it's become something I never thought would happen. But if this helps them understand that it's not just, oh, we're watching Metropolis, or, oh, we're watching A Nightmare on Elm Street, because even, you know, A Nightmare on Elm Street, we have to understand the cultural, the societal, the historical moment. Absolutely. Otherwise, like, especially horror films, you know, they're the cinema of anxieties, right? Cultural anxieties, personal anxieties, right? And it's exactly that. And I think that's also why your podcast is so unique, because you can tell that to you guys, it's not just entertainment. And I'm gonna be honest here, especially when it comes to horror movie. I feel like a lot of the culture around it is like, oh, let's talk about the gross outs and whatnot. And like, of course, you know, that it will naturally come up. But for me, what's interesting is not like how scary something is, it's what is it trying to say. Because of course there are going to be some films that are just like, yeah, let's just kill as many women's titties as we want, or whatever.
Oh my god.
But, but for the most part, people are attracted, both filmmakers and the audience are attracted to horror because of the complexities that are explored within the genre, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why I really love your answer. And I love that you guys discovered, like, you figured it out for yourselves. Because as you said, even though you're in the entertainment industry, it's not like y'all, as you said, you didn't know Latin American horror before. And now I can just tell, even by from early episodes to your more recent episodes, there's like this wisdom you take with each film that you've gained through contextualization. And that's so beautiful, you know, especially when we're lumped under Latin America for better or worse, you know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think there's something really, really wonderful about like discovering these moments in other countries' cultural timelines, and then being able to be an outsider and appreciate them, respect them, and honor them. You know, we're still goofy people. Like, I can't help it. I'm still gonna throw comedy all up in there. That's just what my body does. but that doesn't mean that I'm not going to fully appreciate these emotions and moments that are laid out in these films that are meant to showcase deeper lines of who these directors are, who these countries have been, and who has lived in them, and the experiences that have gone through all of them. So,
yeah, and to just kind of go off of what Eileen just said, you know, sometimes we watch movies that we're just like, okay, this was kind of a hot pile.
Yeah,
pero like honestly, right now on Wiki Horror, we're kind of in like it's been a bit of a rough stretch with movies.
Yeah, we're going through it right now. The movies we're picking are tough. Yeah,
we're a little rough in terms of just like we were like these. They weren't really our cup of tea, and they didn't really say much to us. But we do our best, and I think it has to do with specifically because, you know, we are Latinx people, and we want to at least like do our best, even if we think the movie is a fucking steaming hot pile of shit. We'll still be like, but let's, you know, these are our people. Let's try to see like the good here as much as we possibly can. And just to give you a little shout out here, May, because, you know, you're being very, very sweet, you know, saying these wonderful things to us, because I agree with Eileen, like, I feel like a goofball on our podcast.
My God,
like
we constantly.
We look we are always like, you know, trying to be like, what does this mean? What does this mean? When it gets super artsy fartsy, we're like, look, Oof. We're lost in the woods right now, but we do our best. But I just wanted to say, May, that I truly appreciate your kind words, but I've also been listening to Horrorspiria, this very podcast, and it's wonderful. I love the exploration of what you're doing. And also, you sent us, you know, your what I'm going to call like a thesis on Afro-Latinx horror. And I was like, okay, this woman is a scholar.
We are.
She might as well be a scientist.
Yeah.
She might as well be like an astronomist. Like you are just so smart. And that thing was so beautifully written, so well written that it's honestly, it's an honor to be on this pod with you because you are, I was wowed by that article. So I just got to say that to you because you're being so kind to us.
I'm incredibly kind because there is, and this is the other thing, like, you know, yes, Johnny and I are Latinx. We also white. We are white Latinos, okay? Mm-hmm, and we've lived in the U.S. long enough now where it's like, it feels like it's seeped out a lot. Like we're a watered down version of what we once were, if you will. Mm. And so it is so easy to just fully dive into an entire pool of imposter Ooh. Syndrome and just be like, well, hopefully somebody understands that we have no idea what we're fucking doing. And we're just, we're trying our, I mean, it's not hyperbole when I call us dundos, because there's so many times where we feel like such dummies in this, not because we're not smart or intelligent, but because in these films, we want so bad to understand the viewpoints, and we want so bad to make sure that these stories are told properly and that there's meaning there. And sometimes, not to hate on some of the movies that we do, sometimes they're just shitty horror movies. You know what I mean? Props to these people that want to give like importance and reality and give you true horror, like give you folklore horror that you're just like, oh yeah, this is a scary thing that my grandma used to tell me or whatever. But then at the end of the day, we're also going to have the shitty horror movies that you get in regular American cinemas that are just like bullshit. I'm here to throw a bucket of blood in your face and be like, okay. So thank you so much for being so nice and saying that this means something, because it's truly what we strive to do. But at the end of the day, we also are just two best friends that like to watch movies and gab. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that you guys, I mean, first off, I cannot even believe that you said this stuff about me. Thank you. Especially because no one else has really read that chapter yet. And so I feel like I did shit on it.
Oh, you
We're
did
just
not.
So much more impressed with you than you should be of us.
Yes. Yes. I agreed.
The thing I wanted to say though, is that, like I said, that in and of itself is culture though. And especially it's horror culture. Mm-hmm. I feel though, like it's cheeky, it's camp. Johnny, I hope this isn't like a call out, but I know that you're gay. I'm also gay too. And so like, I also, I always say that, queer is horror, right? And I feel like it's not like it's not like it doesn't go outside of the realm of possibilities that yes, we can go ahead and be all highbrow and talk about the parallels, but I mean the very fact is genre makes it easier to swallow, right?
Yeah.
And and it can be very playful in it, or it can be very serious, and that range is the culture. So like, give you guys credit, because the fact that you are playful is the very due diligence given to the genre. It's like, it's very beautiful overall. Now, to talk a little bit more about the podcast in and of itself. So you guys, I know that, as you say, there's no end in sight. So far the list that you have is not totally complete, but you guys have done episodes on Brazil, Peru, Dominican Republic, Cuba. Mm-hmm. You've done U.S. produced films made by Latinos and mm-hmm. sort of a couple like La Casa Lobo from Germany and Chile, Uruguay, Mexico, Chile, Argentina, Honduras, Venezuela, Colombia, Nicaragua, Paraguay, Belize, Costa Rica, Panama. And your first episode was on La Llorona, right? From Guatemala, which was my favorite movie that year.
Oh my God.
Honestly, I can't believe how lucky we were to pick that movie as our first episode, because
we started too strong.
Honestly, like I was like, how are we gonna go from here? Like, I can't imagine that all these horror movies we watch are gonna be as beautiful, as meaningful, as spooky, creepy as this fucking movie. Because goddamn, that movie was so fucking good.
Yeah. You know, so much so that, you know, that was our very first episode, like you just said, and we were recording on Zoom. So you go back and listen to it now, and it's a little,
it's a funky
it's a little bootleg, but it was so good that honestly, I haven't even said this to Eileen, but I'm like, revisit episode at some point, revisit with our fancy new microphones.
I mean we're 2 years in, maybe we can do a special ep.
Absolutely. It's that good.
If you guys do that, I'll be pressured, because same over here. When I started doing my first ones, I got the class because I teach global horror film. I've always been obsessed with horror too, but it wasn't until I got the class that I was like, oh, I can go with this. And I've gone hard for it. Now I guess I'm a bit of a horror scholar, which I fought for. I was like, if I can be a horror scholar, I'm going to be it. And and it's fun.
Hell yeah.
It's amazing. But the first few ones we were recording within, like, we had the microphones, but I didn't know how. I was recording in Premiere, which is not a recording. Oh my God. It was still so, I think the content's there. If the content is there, people will stick around and the audio will get better.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Eventually it did.
Yeah.
Beautiful list, beautiful variety. But as someone who does this, you know, research for a living, trying to find these movies, like I tell you, it's pulling teeth, pulling hard teeth, to the point that I've now had to begin research in Spanish, and it's a lot. So can you talk us through a little bit of your research process, actually? Because I just want to know, but I think people would be surprised at how much work it is as well.
Johnny?
Well, just to talk about like initial research, like when we first started this podcast, you know, Eileen came up with the idea, but then like she mentioned, she put together a huge list that I think May, you have this list now. I think we sent it to, we shared it with you and you've seen it's long. So Eileen did that. So we had that list to pick from, and honestly, a lot of these movies are not available, and that's because of lack of funding or
copyright stuff.
Copyright.
It's the same shit with like, distribute. It's either, I'm on Netflix, I'm on this thing, I'm on the other, I'm not streaming at all. I was too low budget of a movie to even make it into like that kind of, into a streaming service or whatever. So.
Yeah. And so now that we're, you know, we're into it, I think we're almost at, I don't know, 80 episodes now. Yeah. We're up there. And what we do now is, you know, I'll speak for myself, is I'll look at our list and I'll be like, okay, what country have we not been to for a while? And then I'll pick a country, I'll look at the list, I'll check out all these movies, but then sometimes I'll literally just put in like Argentina película de terror o algo así, like Argentina scary movie. And sometimes something new will pop up. You know, people are making new movies all the time. And so that's usually how I pick a movie. I send Eileen the poster and I'm like, this is what we're doing. And so I'll watch the movie, just like sit there, be in it, experience the film. And then I'll usually like take a day or so just to kind of like, you know, feel it, see how I feel, what I thought, whatever. And then I'll rewatch the movie. But this time I will like, you know, it's a lot of stop and start, pause, where I take notes. I go through the whole freaking thing, all the plot points. I usually go through those notes again a few times just to be like, you can cut this, cut that, whatever. But then we do our trivia section, and that's where we do like the research on the film, where we're like, this stuck out to me, this. We'll talk about the filmmakers, the performers, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, that's usually how we do it. And then at the end, we have our little questionnaire section, like how many ooies, who was your favorite character, all that kind of stuff. So it's a process to you know, get the full thing done.
A lot of times also, we just, when we're doing research for trivia, we'll discover stuff on like the directors or the actors, and we'll Google them and we'll see any movies that they have done in the past. And if they are scary or not, we'll be like, okay, a mental note to make a note that here's other possible movies for us to watch in the future, which is very right. helpful. Also, like for me, similar vibes that Johnny has said, I try my best to go in blind. Like I don't watch a trailer. I don't read the synopsis. I don't do anything. I just like, oh, here's a movie we haven't done yet. Click. This is it. Let's go. Which has often put me in the weeds, because sometimes I'm just like, why the fuck did I pick this fucking thing? But also I think when I'm watching the movie, I try my best, because I know I'll be able to find information on the people. Like that'll be, you could just be like, Google so-and-so and it'll work. And then with, if it's either a folk story or if it's like a historical political story, that's also pretty easy to be like, El Tunche, and then they'll give us information. But then a lot of times for me is there'll be moments of what the characters are doing or how they're feeling or any particular like little detail that I'm like, why? What is that? Or what is this for? Or I wonder what that could be. And then I like to focus on that shit too, because, you know, as much as the podcast is the Latinx experience, the Latinx experience is still a human experience. So like, how does having Munchausen syndrome affect being a Latin American person, or, and in general, what the fuck is Munchausen's? Or like, you know, if I don't know about the base information of a film, I'd like to know that so that I can put the Latino jacket on top of that too. You know what I mean? Like have the both meld together, which is, I think, always really fun to discover, like the that kind of little detail stuff in within those movies.
And I meant to mention this earlier, actually, it slipped my mind, but I know that you guys said, you know, white Latinos, whatnot, and you feel that you've, especially even in the US, you guys have begun to assimilate. But as someone who also grew up in a very different part of Latin America, I think growing up in Latin America is something that marks you forever. And I think it's what makes you both so receptive to the movies that you do watch, because I think if you guys were just like US bred, which a lot of have these tend to be, you would lose so much context. And I think, and again, not to compliment bomb you guys again, but I think you do a really great job of paying attention to that nuance, because that's what often is actually missing in Latin American research. And I can tell you that as a scholar, is that a lot of it are, you know, white film scholars that get specializations in Latin America. And I find a lot of their work, that's why I've gone so hard in this space, because there's so few of us that actually know the context. So much so to the point that it's gotten, for me personally, sometimes when I think of the Latin America construct, I begin to get like little rocks in my joint, because I'm like, what Latin America do you mean? Like, what are you speaking from a perspective of? But with you guys, I know it's very specific, because you know it, you have a multicultural experience from Brazil to Nicaragua to your other connections within Latin America. And so to sort of build off of these last two questions, I think I have to ask maybe the more difficult, like, pick your darlings question, which is, do you have like a favorite experience from the podcast, favorite films, interesting finds? Tell me a little bit about your experiences watching these films. I will say, you guys have pretty much covered all my faves, like all my, like La Llorona is one of my absolute faves. So Tigers Are Not Afraid.
Tigers Are Not Afraid.
Yeah, Tigers Are Not Afraid might be, God, to me, the best horror just like ever. I think it works. I mean, Isa Lopez, she is, she is the heir to Del Toro.
And I love
Del Toro, but I think I like her movies more than I like his. And she's only made one.
I mean, we talked about it when we were doing research for it in the trivia, and how she's doing a werewolf Western. I'm like, bitch, where is this movie? We need it now.
Honestly, ready for the next movie. I think she was just signed on to direct
True Detective.
Yeah.
You guys have also done Diablo Rojo Party, which I think is one of the most underrated films, you know, and, you know, directed by a woman. Saul Moreno, legit went out the gate running for Panama at that. You know, so beautiful. So you guys have covered like a lot of my faves.
It's funny Diablo Rojo, that was one instance where I was like, I have zero clue about anything Panamanian except for like the canal, like yo no sé. And so I learned so much about that movie, and literally like so fucking fun, so crazy, real gory, and like you're just like, yeah, look at this fucking bus. Like, it's a, and that the Diablo Rojo is vital for Panama, like in general. So that's really,
and that was the one where they talked about the Tuli Vieja as well, right? Tuli Vieja.
La Tuli Vieja.
So it wasn't just finding out about the Diablo Rojo. It was the folklore of that
story
and the Tuli Vieja.
Well, I have a soft spot. I have a soft spot for the Santo movies, just because I like the goofiness of it. I like the 70s vibe of it. When we did Mujeres Vampiro, which it was such a bummer because we had to record it twice because my mic issues. Yeah, it was a bummer. But when I tell you that the second record, I was concerned that I was gonna be like, oh man, I'm just like retelling this thing again. I still had just as much fun as the first time I told it, because that movie is so goofy. And the fact that we have a wrestler with like these classic horror monsters, it's so dumb. But then we also have the aesthetic of Mexico in the 70s. Like the way that women are portrayed in it, you're just like, the glamour is unbelievable. A sucker for any movie that is gonna make women look like absolute goddesses. And not for nothing, but speaking of women being absolute goddesses, any of the Carlos Enrique Taboada movies, Veneno para las Hadas, absolutely destroyed me in a way that I was like, how can somebody describe the young girls experience this way. Like, I have never connected to a character more than I have in that film. And then when we did Hasta el Viento Tiene Miedo, I was like, how I just the fact that this man, and we still haven't seen the rest of his movies, which I'm so excited to do. But he just has this vision of young women in a way that shows like turmoil and anxiety and like the pressures of society on girls and women. And I was like, this is how it's shocking to me that it's a man making these movies. Do you know what I mean? Because the female perspective is so strong. And I mean, in Viento Tiene Miedo, fucking the looks, the clothes, just again, that aesthetic for me is so, I am such a eat with my eyes kind of gal. And and I just want to see, that beautiful vision in front of me. It's the same feeling I have with Dolly Parton's quote from Steel Magnolias: laughing through tears is my favorite emotion, horror through beauty is my favorite visual aspect. Like, I love which is why I love La Llorona so much, because there is wonderful stuff with goop and glop. Show me decapitations. Yes, open them guts, do all that shit. But there's something about seeing beautiful horror that is, it hits so much harder for me. And I that's the stuff that I truly like love to jibba jab about.
You know, so the first that popped into my head was Veneno para las Hadas, you know, these Taboada films. But Mexico has been, you know, huge film industry there, so I'm gonna try to like think of other places, but some that come to mind are Morgue
from Paraguay,
which the ending didn't quite land, it didn't hit the mark for me. But that movie, first of all, they're speaking
Guarani.
¿Cómo se llama? Guarani. They're speaking Guarani throughout the movie, and they don't even they just begin to speak it, and you're like, oh.
It was shocking to us.
We shocking, were
like,
but
what language is this?
But beautiful. And me, like Eileen and I were just like, holy shit, look at this. And so, you know, learned about that, was terrified throughout that film. Another movie that pops up is El Páramo from Colombia. I cannot remember.
El Páramo is so, it's Colombia.
I can't remember the director.
Yo tampoco no me acuerdo.
That movie, first of all, terrifying,
so
beautifully
spooky.
Shot.
Yeah.
But that's one of the best I've seen so far that has kind of melded together the political and kind of like spiritual folklore, where you're literally like, which is which here? And no pun intended, because there's literally like a witch storyline in there. Where you're like, I don't know what's going on here. I believe the folklore, but I also believe this just might be like decades of political trauma, violent trauma under here, you know, building the terror in this film. And then I gotta give a shout out to As Boas Maneiras from Brazil, Marco Dutra and Juliana Rojas, because that I think about it and I just want to like burst into tears.
It's so good.
It's so good and so beautiful and moving, and the love for the characters in that film. It's unlike anything I've ever seen.
Totally.
You know, and, but then there's also like, you know, just like these trashy slashers like Don't Panic, which was a Mexico USA, or I think
dream.
It was just Mexico.
Mexico which is, US. Well,
it's like Mexico doing Nightmare on Elm Street. And
absolutely.
It's like, so much fun. You know, there's so much.
Do you guys have Bacurau on your list yet? Bacurau? Am I saying it right?
Bacurau? No.
No.
I would say that one is probably my favorite Brazilian one. It is a bit more genre than straight up horror, but I call it a horror because it all has to do, I always say horror is in the perspective of the beholder. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with, I don't think this is a spoiler, but there's like racial, it's a racially charged plot. Okay. And it does get into blood and guts. So I call it a horror. Cool. I think people call it a weird Western. And I'm like, that's a horror. That's a Western horror. Otherwise, like I said, you guys have seen pretty much every, like when you guys were talking about like Mexico in the 70s, I was thinking of Alucarda.
Oh my God. Love Alucarda.
Oh my God.
It's so bad shit.
It's so bonkers. It's so bonkers. The outfits in that fucking movie are the best. It's like 18th century through the 70s lens. And you're like, what the fuck are you guys doing with this plaid outfit? Oh my God. It's
and
so
remember
good.
Remember the bloody nun outfits?
Oh my God, the bloody nun.
Chills, chills.
Complimentary question to that is, are there films or national cinemas that you guys haven't tackled yet that you're really excited to? Maybe give us a taste as to where your mind is at for the future for now.
You know, the ones that we haven't really covered are ones that we're just having a hard time finding movies from. Like we haven't had Ecuador yet, right, Johnny?
No, we haven't.
Have we done Bolivia at all even?
Well, I've been looking for Bolivia like crazy because I used to live there. So I was like, I've always been like, I want to do Bolivia. I want to do Bolivia. Pero it's been tough, but it's literally been, you know, like with Bolivia, I've literally written emails to be like, hi, I want to see this movie. Y nada.
Nah.
They don't respond. And I'm just like, let me see this fucking movie. It's tough.
I do the same.
Yeah.
And I'm someone that's like, I'm a researcher. I'm doing my PhD. Talk
Absolutely.
To me. And I just don't think Latin Americans like their emails overall. And I'm like, okay, I mean, relatable. You guys have heard of Crónicas?
Is that John Leguizamo?
Yeah, John Leguizamo, but it is in Ecuador. Produced and the director's Ecuadorian, and it's up on Tubi.
Okay.
I actually have a few students that have done Crónicas and they really like it. It's more of like a horror thriller because it's like a serial killer. John Leguizamo is chasing down like a serial killer kind of thing. But it counts. Again, it counts within the world.
We have that on our list, and I've looked at it, but I always felt like I was like, this doesn't feel kind of horror. And also I know Eileen is like a big John Leguizamo fan, so I was like, I've always just been like, she'll pick it at some point.
You know what country we've been having a hard time finding is, and I know they're out there, I know there's at least three because I'm pretty sure I wrote them down on my Excel sheet, is Puerto Rico.
So I can give you guys context for that.
Please.
Because I've been doing a global, this is sort of low-key because right now it's fine that I'm saying this, but because I'm in the process of doing it, there's not much I can really like say I've found something so far. But I started doing this global horror mentorship for an institute in the UK. Mm-hmm. And they accepted me when I pitched Puerto Rican horror, but I was like, listen, there's like nothing though, but there's this woman, her name is Rosana Diaz Zambrana, and she is the only other Puerto Rican scholar that has looked at Puerto Rican horror. And I sat down with her. She wrote this incredible book called Oro Filmico, which is the only like anthology on Latin American horror from Latin America, done with a Puerto Rican press at that. So it's incredible. But I literally sat down with her because she's like the only other one. And I'm like, hey girl, you're the only other
Please,
one.
Please, let's connect.
You're over in Rollins. But you've actually seen these films. Can you tell me, you know, like, where's the Puerto Rican horror? And she was like, oh girl, she's like, first off, they just don't have distribution, which honestly, distribution is the biggest, speaking from someone that literally, my focus is in industry studies, because I would love if I could be like a Western scholar, just watching movies as they come in. But when I decided to focus on Latin America, especially because I decided to focus on Latin America, because I was like, you guys, I was like, I started doing, when I first started doing my horror class, There was a lot of Western cinemas on it. And I was like, why am I teaching in a university and I can't teach about my culture? Like, what's up with that? And I was like, oh, because I just have to go out and do it, because I was relying on other people to do it. And I was like, it looks like I need to do it. And ever since I started doing that, I realized that, like, it's pretty much no one else is also doing it. And so, and like the main thing is just distribution. Is it's literally distribution, because I mean, let's just face it, there's a Hollywood hegemony. And if there's not a Hollywood hegemony, there's, especially when it comes to horror, there's a Japanese hegemony, there's Western Europe, you know.
Yeah.
And it comes to the point that it's like, oh, Latin America, we'll look at films from Mexico, maybe Argentina, maybe Brazil.
Yeah.
But that's it. And so the network, the distribution networks get really enclosed. And then the problem with Puerto Rico is that we're still colonized.
I was gonna say that. I was like, it has something to do with the United States of America.
Let me drop some more nuggets of information for you. So the Academy, which, even though the Academy, you guys know, it's not, I mean, it is a filmmaking body, but the thing about the Academy is that it also controls a lot about what film festivals will accept, right? Because of the short films and whatnot. And for better or worse, film festivals are the only ways that independent films are shown nowadays, right? Mm-hmm. Especially with Disney and Amazon buying everything. Independent film companies have been completely bought out to niche festivals. Now, the Academy in 2011, they said Puerto Rico can no longer count as a foreign language cinema. And it is not eligible for American, if it wants to compete in this ecosystem, has to compete with the American industry, which is Hollywood, which then gives Puerto Rican filmmakers, so here's the second part to that problem. The second part to that problem is that the Film Commission of Puerto Rico is unique in the United States, and that the governor assigns it. And I don't know if you guys know, you guys probably don't know this, but the government for Puerto Rico for the last like 20 years has been a right-wing government aligned with statehood. And so because they do assign the administration and the Film Commission office, guess who the Film Commission only gives funding to? The Americans, because they want Hollywood productions in Puerto Rico.
Right.
They don't want local productions in Puerto Rico because local productions don't make money. I have an email from the film commissioner of Puerto Rico saying that. So, hey girl, hope you listen to this one day. So this leaves Puerto Rican filmmakers with literally no industry.
No options.
And then what they have to do is they have to appeal for European funds. European funds will be like, girl, we don't know your history. Like, aren't you part of the United States? And I have literally seven different interviews from the most successful Puerto Rican filmmakers who eventually pretty much have to move to Hollywood, who have said, yeah, I mean, we had to prove that we were being shut out by the Academy, that even U.S. funding bodies weren't giving us funding because we couldn't compete with the mainland filmmakers. And so that's like the main thing, right? But then even the few films that are made, I mean, who sees them? They don't get past the island. We're in a colonized film economy. And so, like, straight up, Rosanna, who's been doing this, she's already, like, she's tenure track at Rollins. So she's been doing this since the early 21st century. She tells me, yeah, I just write to the filmmakers. Sometimes I get lucky and they send me DVDs. But otherwise, there's no other way I can tell you how to watch a lot of these films. But she did tell me that there's one on Prime. And I've been trying to speak to her because I would love to come on the podcast to do it with you guys. But yeah, basically, Puerto Rico is like in a really bad shape. The other one that's also in a really bad shape, I decided to focus on the Caribbean because we almost have like a double whammy issue than like South America and Central America, because we are geographically isolated and a lot of us are still colonized. Like Haiti, pretty much has no resources whatsoever. The only films that count as Haitian films have been French productions that have the money to go to Haiti. And those tend to be like really racist films and technically French films, but they're set majority in Haiti, which is just like pure neocolonialism, like in the 21st century.
And the two Cuban movies that we made are Spanish movies, basically.
So Cuba and the Dominican Republic are the only ones. And I will say the Dominican Republic has been getting, I mean, they have really been investing in their industry. But I mean, I remember I was texting you guys crazy one night when I was looking at Cuban films, because the Cuban industry also is really bottlenecked because of, you know, they don't think horror films are, you know, worth making. So the Caribbean tends is a very unfortunately like mired spot, but I'm working on it. There is one thing I can say. Wow. There is something called the Lusca Film Fest, and it's a genre film fest. It used to be the Puerto Rican Horror Film Festival, but unfortunately the founder died and they got rebranded. Just had a program last year, but unfortunately I can tell you from experience, I've been trying to contact them for 3 months straight and haven't gotten a bite, but so it's hard. It's definitely hard, but we'll get through it together, I guess.
Listen, we can all be sources of information to each other. I mean, the whole point of our pod is to get eyes on these movies. I mean, we always say, listen, again, the good, the bad, the ugly. That doesn't mean that we don't want you to see them. We're always saying, watch these fucking movies, even if they are a hot pile of garbage. And, you know, the level of experience sometimes doesn't even matter. We have seen some total independent, like, camcorder vibes that have been solid fucking movies. We've seen some really high productions that have been absolute shit houses. So like, all we want is for acknowledgement that this genre can thrive with a Latinx experience, with a Latinx eye. And you know, it's such a fucking bummer to find a movie from a certain place and not be able to see them, because a dream to just know more to, and it's, and you know, especially when we do research with like the production companies, because Johnny and I always make fun that a lot of the Latino movies in the beginning will have like producido por and like 17 different things that say like el gobierno, esta persona, Coca-Cola, whatever. Well, never Coca-Cola, pero you know what I mean. And so like, you know, it's, and some of these distribution, like especially if they come through the US, they're distribution companies that you have never heard of before in your life. One of them is called Uncorked, and it's like a little red wine glass that pops up whenever it comes on. And I remember doing research on Uncorked Films or whatever it's called, and seeing their list of movies that they have distributed, and I'm like, these are from the most random ass places you'll ever think of, but they're here, and at least this little company is like, we'll do what we can, you know what I mean? So
I just gotta say, May, that was incredibly revealing about what's going on in Puerto Rico, because I had no idea. And Eileen and I have both, like you mentioned, the Puerto Rico Horror Film Festival, I believe is what it's called, or what it used to be called. And I remember reading about that and being like, okay, so these movies are out there,
right?
Pero we can't find them. And so this is another important thing here. Like what you just, I mean, I just learned so much from what you just said about this situation that is so fucked.
Absolutely.
But that's another important thing here, that people learn about this and they understand what's going on.
Yeah.
That like, you know, people just want to tell some stories, but they can't get the funding. They can't get the representation. They get, you know, it's just, you know, bureaucratic bullshit, red tape everywhere. And it's just like, I just want to make a movie.
I just want to watch a movie.
It's tough.
Have there been like revelations or maybe observations that you guys have about looking at Latin American horror as a genre in and of itself? Like, are there things that you say that you think that are important to mention? Like, obviously it's difficult to generalize, especially when Latin America covers three different geographical regions, different continents technically, right?
Yeah.
But do you think that there have been either some trends or some patterns that you've noticed that, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to surprise you, but like maybe things that you've noticed that have been rewarding to sort of figure out as you've been going through, which honestly you guys do is like a long-term research process. That's like also really fun, right?
Totally.
So please tell us if there are anything like anything that you've noticed over the years.
For me, I think I have two answers to your question. I'll try to make it brief because, you know, you've got us talking and Eileen and I could talk. So
we can.
First of all, a revelation for me has been the fact that, you know, we get a lot of love on, you know, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. Pero every now and then we do get a message being like, you're not Latinos. You suck, you know, like, and stop using Latinx. But Latinx doesn't exist. And so we have to be like,
hate the term Ooh. Latinx.
And I'm like, ooh, that's rough. And so for me, you know, I am Latino, and since I was a kid, because I grew up in Latin America, my dad is white, my mom is from Honduras. You know, there was an identity struggle. You know, to the Latinos, I wasn't Latino enough. To the, you know, to the Americans, I wasn't like American or white enough. It was like a weird mix here. And so doing this podcast, for me, a revelation has been just really having kind of ownership and pride over the fact that I am Honduran and recognizing that all over the world, and this is, you know, honestly, a reason we do the podcast in English is because we want people to, you know, we want to show this to more people. You know, like there are more than just, you know, these Hollywood studio movies out there, is to show people that, like, it doesn't matter if somebody tells you, you know, like, you're not Latino, Latinx is not a thing. For me, I've been like, actually, I am. You know, I might struggle with my Spanish every now and then. I might look like just your regular old fucking white dude walking down the street. Pero sabes que yo soy Latino, and you can't take that away from me. Like, that is a truth, and that is who I am. And so that's been really, really wonderful for me. And in terms of these movies, the revelation speaking specifically about that is, I mean, it's a tough realization, but I think something that I've realized is that there is a lot of, and I said this earlier on this episode, there's a lot of trauma in Latin America that is being expressed in all sorts of different ways, sometimes beautifully, sometimes really horrifically, and like very violent stuff that we've seen. But I at least appreciate that through an artistic lens, because I consider horror to be just one of the, like, that's why I love the genre so much, because you can do anything with horror. You can do anything with horror. You can, and people ask me all the time, like, why are you so into horror? And I'm like, because you can do fucking anything with it. You can explore so much. You can express so much. And that's what I'm really loving with some of these filmmakers, is that they are taking this, like, generational, just collected pain and anguish and expressing this. And I'm like, yes, baby, get it out, talk it out, however you need to, let's do it through your art, through horror. And I love that so much. So as briefly as possible, those were my answers.
I think for me, the thing that I've discovered in a lot of these films is how much religion and patriarchy have made a really strong impact on the Latino society. And it's incredibly prevalent, the violence against women, and how much religion is just like stamped on them. And by religion, obviously, because God bless, literally, los Latinos, we love to be Christian. We fucking love to be Christian. And then like these Christian based faiths just permeate throughout. And coming to terms with like my own views on religion and being raised Catholic and having to and absolutely not being practicing at all, and like putting that shit aside to be open to understanding that point of view still and making it not have myself not be as judgmental. I think in general, I've learned a lot about myself is that I'm not as open-minded as I thought I was. There's a lot of shit that I'm like, that really makes me, we say this so many times on the pod, clutch my pearls. And like, it's been really interesting to see what has made me do that. Like the moments in film. And I mean, I love that, you know, in horror, shock and awe is just a given. It's there. But the things that surprise me the most are those moments where my repression or the views that I have held onto unknowingly pop up. And I'm like, whoa, why the hell am I feeling this kind of way about this kind of thing? So it's been really interesting to see also how these films have twisted those like religious and patriarchal moments and made them shown the other side of it and like the strength in women and that kind of stuff. So it's been interesting having to take away my own machismo that I've been drilled in by my family and my ancestors and stuff like that, and take away my own Catholicism and like my judgments of things, and you know, zhuzh them on by. I can't say that I have and won't continue to be judgy and shitty, which makes me feel bad. But what's been lovely about having Johnny on the pod with it is that I'm glad that I get to be honest and talk to someone about when those feelings come up. And I'm like, I hate that I feel this way, because for so long, it's you just kind of like, oh, I feel this way. And you kind of just live with the feeling. And now I get to talk about it and find out why I feel this way. And why does a shitty Catholic person, or why does that woman being so free and honest and sexually open make me be like, oh, but why? I simply cannot. You mustn't. So wrestling with those feelings. And I mean, I love that horror movies are the ones that are doing that, because so many times people are like, oh, drama, and yes, this whatever. Yeah, well, a serial killer killing a woman can also make me feel that way. So eat a butt.
Literally sometimes.
Yeah.
In some of these movies.
There's just a finality with it. Like, eat a butt.
Just eat a go butt, dude. It.
Do
just
it.
Go. Leave me alone.
Leave me alone. Go eat a butt. Yeah. Exactly.
I love to look to the future, I guess. So like, what are maybe some of your hopes for Oike Horror, or what do you guys have planned upcoming?
Well, I mean, we definitely are still going to keep watching these dang movies and posting things. We're going to start introducing guests, which we want to start doing. Not only guests as in like we're talk about movies with our guests, but we also want to maybe start interviewing directors and stuff, because something wonderful about social media is that we've connected with a lot of these, because these movies oftentimes are independent and these people are like, I want to get my movie out there. They're like, yeah, what's up, podcast? How was it going? So now we have these connections with these people. So hopefully start introducing interviews with these directors. That'd be really great. We keep saying something about a Uyghur world tour, so maybe live shows now that the world is less crazy and on fire. I had a crazy idea.
Please, what's your crazy idea?
Well, I had a crazy idea that maybe we can do our own little film fest somehow. I mean, I live right next to the Museum of Moving Image here in Queens,
New York. Shut the fuck up. That's my favorite museum. I'm not even joking. That was
mine too. Mine too.
I am an insane Jim Henson fan.
Yeah. It's the best.
Have you ever seen Yo Soy Taína?
No.
Oh my fucking God. Okay. You guys need to go. It's up on HBO Max.
Okay.
And it is a Muppet. It's Taino Muppets that the Henson Company, they collaborate with a Puerto Rican filmmaker.
No way.
And I, as Holy someone that grew shit. Up watching Muppets, and it's, I mean, come done on. In the context after Hurricane Maria, which greatly impacted my family.
Yeah.
I just saw throughout that short film. So it's up on HBO Max. So just like
amazing.
Just like Taina. So, oh my God, sorry. Awesome.
No. I mean, that's how I feel about it too. I fucking love the Museum of Moving Image.
My favorite thing, the last two times I've been in New York, one was right before the pandemic, one was last year. I get really high and I go in the Muppet Theater that they have. And I just
the best. That Muppet Theater is so fucking cool, dude.
So amazing.
It's literally, you've never been, right, Johnny? I've never taken
no,
you.
No, I've never been there. No, we need to go next time I go up.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
It's
they literally built the fucking Muppet Theater, and I don't know how they did it.
There's a little balcony where, you know, our dudes would be chilling at, but it looks like a huge sarcophagus, maybe like an Egyptian tomb, and they have little seats and they play like clips of the Muppets. It's great. But
amazing.
But they have a really great a couple movie screens, and I was like, I don't know, I feel like I could go in and be like, hey, who's in charge? How about doing a Latino film fest and have it be just horror?
The one that I've been thinking about doing something similar, but at Sun Cinema, Johnny. Sun Cinema.
Where's Sun Cinema?
You don't know Sun Cinema?
Ooh, no, where is it?
Party Foul.
First off,
go follow them right now, because Sun Cinema is the true independent movie house in DC.
Shit.
And I mean, it's more like a really tall, I mean, it's completely independent, but it's more like it's like a 50 max little screening room.
Love that.
But they do, like, right now, I think in March it was Kung Fu month. Last month it was Cat month. But they curate, they do a lot of things for independent filmmakers. And so I can't say I'm like friends with them, but we're acquainted, because I am one of the few, or you know, I'm a film culture researcher, and I've always just been wanting the opportunity to be like, I know I could even schedule like a weekend here. And I was thinking about doing it perhaps with like Horror Spirit, but I would be more than happy to, I mean, we could both do it in New York.
We could do a combo Horror Spirit and Wikiror together presents. I don't know, a weekend of fucking
Latin American horror. No, yeah. I actually, you guys probably don't know this, but that's something that I really have been trying to do in DC. The only successful one I've done is the Embassy of Argentina. I curated an exhibition with them during the pandemic and during 2020. I wish that we had known each other then, because it was running all month long in October 2020.
Fuck.
There were Argentinian films, like films that I had never heard of, true independent films running through the embassy website.
What films did you show?
Just We're recording an Argentinian film today.
I will send you the films. I have them in my inbox, but I totally forgot them. They weren't that great, but it made me so happy. I mean, gotta be honest. Yeah. It made me so happy because I mean, that's what's exciting to me. To me, I, you know, especially DC is a really great place for that. And it's absolutely. Often a time that doesn't, even though we have a lot of cultural events, I often feel like the Latin American events tend to be underrated.
So
I'm always looking for excuses to do stuff like that. So I love those ideas. You guys deserve it. Yeah. And it's so beautiful. I mean, you guys are like on a network, right? I'm truly independent. So like me, I'm like, oh, a network? You guys are so fancy.
I mean, we still feel that way too. We're like, ooh, a network? We're so fancy.
Excuse me.
Us?
Yeah. So Sonoro Podcast has been very, very wonderful to have us on their roster. And we're very grateful to be there because they have a lot of really great content. They just won an... what's the fucking term? Oh, what's this? Oh, my headphone. They just won a... I forget the name of the... I want to say Audi. That's wrong. But they just won a podcast award for Tejana, which is a scripted detective show that Stephanie Beatriz was the lead in. And Princesa of South Beach is a really fun novela style scripted podcast, which is really fun too. And yeah, and all kinds of shit. They have some really popular podcasts, Leyendas, Crónicas. Mm. There's so many popular podcasts, all in Spanish. Some are in Spanglish, like Johnny and me, and it's a great part. It's great to be part of their family. So,
yeah,
well, nice. I have to say, congratulations, guys. It seems
May.
It's so well deserved, and I am so happy that now we have a connection. I have exciting news to share after we're done recording. I was doing some clicking around, and finally my clicking around worked.
Amazing.
But I hope to have you guys back again.
And we'll call you up for our reggaeton zombie time.
Yeah.
I've never been on, I haven't, even though I've done a lot of special guests, I still haven't been on someone else's podcast. So it's going to be super exciting for me just to be like, oh, I get to show up.
Hell yeah.
We'll get you on here for sure.
Awesome. Yes. Well, thank you so much, guys.
Thank you for having us, May. You're honestly the smartest person we've ever talked to about this kind of stuff.
I know. I love how, like, when you reached out, you're like, you both have such full lives. And I was like, excuse me,
Professor May.
Several universities and colleges sending us this freaking thesis on horror movies. I'm like,
and we're like, oh, you know, I gotta take lundos. Notes on a movie.
I know. So thank you, May. This has been a real pleasure.
Oh, un placer.
Okay.
Besitos,
everyone.
Besos.
Besos. Adios. Adios.